Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, everyone. Lots of developments on the debt ceiling talks, as we mentioned before the news, with so much at stake. Medicare and Medicaid, Social Security, tax rates, the possibility of defaulting on the nation's debts on August 2nd, God forbid. Do you hold any Treasury bills? So we will talk in a little while to Connecticut Congressman Jim Himes, who's on the Finance Committee, and later listen in on a presidential news conference on the issue. So stay tuned for all that. And we'll have some fun today, too, looking behind that one tip to a tiny belly web ad that seems to pop up no matter what you click on. And there are reasons not to click through. But first, we know now who will be running to replace Anthony Weiner in Congress from Brooklyn and Queens. And it may also affect the mayoral race for 2013. So joining us to talk about this is Ozzie Paber, a political reporter for the New York Observer, and Bob Hart, political director at New York One. Hey, Ozzie. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Welcome back to WNYC. So, Ozzie, you are actually in the 9th District as we speak in Forest Hills, Queens, I understand, for the kickoff event of Republican businessman Bob Turner's bid to replace Anthony Weiner. I can only imagine that it's an electric atmosphere, like Jeter's 3,000th hit. This is no doubt why you got into political reporting, historic events like this.
This is it. This is the Royal Rumble, I guess, of special elections. What we have here out in Forest Hills are the Brooklyn and Queens Republican parties actually uniting after some tumultuous back and forth, uniting behind Bob Turner, who his volunteers are very happy to note. He has a lot of paraphernalia from his last campaign, which was not that long ago. A lot of the signs that say Bob Turner for Congress were actually stuff that he had used the last time he had ran against Congressman Anthony Weiner, where he got about 40% of the vote, which is giving a lot of people here some encouragement.
Yeah, and that's a lot for any New York City district. Certainly one in that stretch of Brooklyn and Queens from sort of Midwood to Forest Hills. Who would think that a Republican would have even gotten more than 40%? So I guess that's why there's some hope. Little reported at the time, a lot reported since Anthony Weiner melted down. So Bob Hart, Bob Turner is giving his speech today at the same site where Teddy Roosevelt gave his famous 100% American speech in 1916. We looked this up. Roosevelt said, as I'm sure you remember from your social studies class, there can be no 50-50 Americanism in this country. There is room here for only 100% Americanism, only for those who are Americans and nothing else. So is that what we're going to hear from Mr. Turner today?
I'm getting goosebumps, Brian, just hearing you recite those words. I think we'd have to wait and hear what we hear from Mr. Turner. But he, like you pointed out, he ran a very spirited campaign, kind of under the radar that we didn't really cover in New York One. Our Queens unit didn't even really cover it. And I was looking back at the numbers, and even more surprising was how close the race was in the Brooklyn part of Weiner's district, where it was like 52-40. Roughly those numbers. So there's a little hope in Mr. Turner's corner that in an off election year, if people aren't paying attention and he works really hard and he gets some money and he is independently wealthy, but although he will be doing some fundraising on his own, that he has a shot at this. So it's not outside of the realm of possibility that he could win.
So, Bob, take us back into that race last year that neither of us I dare say neither of our institutions, though I'm not sure our news department never, ever did a story, bothered to cover. Why did Turner get over 40% in Anthony Weiner's district? Weiner was already a YouTube star, an MSNBC star, a major voice for Obama health reform. So was there something? Did he go too far? Was he becoming too liberal on certain national issues for his own district? Or what was the trouble there?
I think you touched on it with your question, Brian. I live in the district, and it's sort of a Reagan Democrat district. It's definitely a majority Democrat district. But if you go back to, for example, 2000, you look at Al Gore did quite well against George Bush. Hillary Clinton barely beat Rick Lazio in that district. So there is some sort of a testosterone-driven kind of a Reagan Democrat, blue-collar voter out there. And I think what you saw last year was what you saw across the country. And also, if you look at some of the other Democratic Congress members upstate who either lost or found themselves in actually surprisingly close races, what happened? That's what happened with Wiener. There was an Obama backlash. Obviously, you didn't really see it as much in the city, or you see it at all. But it was there in the fact that Turner was able to garner roughly 40% of the vote. And so, while we saw Wiener tracking to the left, thinking of a mayoral campaign, coming up in a couple of years. Meanwhile, some of his base was kind of saying, move back to the center. So it was kind of an interesting dance that Wiener was doing, and we never got to see the outcome of that, obviously, because he had to resign because of the scandal.
So, Ozzie Paber, before we go on to the Democrat who's trying to succeed Anthony Wiener, just one more thing about the Republicans. You were among the first to report that City Councilman Eric Ulrich was going to be the Republican nominee. It seemed like his to have. And then last week, he went on New York One, so they were also one of the first to report, obviously, and announced that he didn't want the nomination. Why not?
The stated reason was that he was going to be giving up a guaranteed career in the city council for an uncertain future in the Congress. And that's a reference to the redistricting issue that's sort of hanging over the head of this entire race. Next year, the lines are going to be redrawn for the legislative districts, including the congressional ones. And the going assumption is that, politics is going to pervade, and that for partisan reasons, Democrats and Republicans are sort of going to agree to get rid of this district and basically have Joe Crowley, the Democratic county leader, who's also a congressman next door, basically sort of move in to this area. So there's a question about how excited donors are going to be to donate money to a congressperson on either side who may not even be around for that long. And the issue of having a placeholder candidate or having someone just to take care of the seat until redistricting and sort of not stick around for long afterwards has been a question over the heads of Democrats, and they selected David Weprin for the issue.
And we'll talk about Weprin in a minute, but we have a caller, Alan in Brooklyn, who has a theory as to one reason why Anthony Wiener lost such a large percentage of his district in 2010. Alan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Thanks very much, Brian. Unlike Chuck Schumer, who preceded Wiener, Chuck was a great master of policy details and often gave presentations where he showed that mastery.
And people may not remember because it was so long ago that basically Schumer came out of that same House seat
as an ethnic identity candidate and presented himself as a Jewish candidate to the neighborhood. When he married a Muslim woman, whether you think it's intolerant or not, much of the reason for many of the people supporting him in this area, I'm not talking for myself, pretty much evaporated. And I'm sure that a great deal of the 40% Turner received reflects that abandonment and not a national Republican preference.
Well, that's an interesting and troubling theory. Bob Hart, do you think there's any reporting to back that up?
I've seen no reporting, but I've heard a lot of people actually talk about that's why Turner's numbers were so high in Brooklyn. There's a conservative but Democratic Jewish base in the district, the Brooklyn part of Wiener's district, and there was some speculation that was a factor, the fact that he married Huma Abedin, who's a top aide to Secretary of State Clinton, who happens to be a Muslim. I never heard that becoming an issue in the race, but people are educated and people do follow their congressmen in that district very, very closely.
All right, Ozzie, on the other side of the race is Democratic Assemblyman David Weprin, not a household name. It is to people like us who follow politics very closely. Comes from a big political family. His father was a leader of the state assembly. His brother's also in politics. But David Weprin, currently of the 24th district in Queens in the assembly, why was he selected?
He was selected because he is, according to observers, he's loyal to the Democratic Party. The noise you're hearing behind me is Bob Turner being introduced at his speech right now. So it's sort of like doing a little bit of double duty at the moment of talking about Weprin and keeping an ear open to Mr. Turner. But Weprin has a long career in politics, and he's pretty much seen as someone who won't rock the boat or go too far independent if the lines get redrawn and he somehow finds himself in a district represented by a sitting congressman. But he's also, like a tough campaigner, and he also is a freshman in a legislative body, the state assembly, which is run by seniority. So for him, it's you know, not too hard of a calculus to say, why would I want to spend, you know, 10 or 15 years slowly crawling up the ladder in the assembly when I could do something a lot quicker and get my name out and possibly set myself up for another citywide race in 2013, which is something he's already acknowledged he's open to doing.
Aha. Uh-huh. So, Bob Hart, enter the mayoral race into this equation. Why would Weppin leave the assembly to take a congressional seat that probably won't exist in a year and a half? Bob, is it because he wants to run for mayor?
No, I think what it would be a springboard for another citywide office, probably either public advocate or controller, which would be vacated because there's a lot of speculation that both John Liu, who's the public advocate, John Liu, who's the city controller, and Bill de Blasio, who's the public advocate, are both going to run for mayor.
Do they need to vacate their seats in order to run?
No, they don't have to vacate. Yeah, you're absolutely yes, they do. They can't run for re-election and run for mayor at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So they would be vacated. And so there's a lot of thought that, hey, if you have a congressman in front of your name or a former congressman in front of your name, that's sounds a lot better than saying, hey, I'm a state assemblyman. Weppin ran for city controller before unsuccessfully, so there's a lot of thought that maybe this would be a springboard back into his first citywide office.
Ozzie, you're trying to get in there?
Yes. I just wanted to say that since the speechifying is currently happening, I might have to cut this very short, but it seems like there's going to be a lot of shuffling in 2013, and like Bob said, being a former congressman, you know, it isn't entirely the worst way to be remembered.
Ozzie, you can go if you need to. And I heard the deafening roar when Turner was introduced. It was kind of like when the Jets take the field, you know?
That might have been the Long Island Railroad, but who knows?
All right. Ozzie Paber from the New York Observer, go ahead and do your real job and report on that event. We'll just spend a couple more minutes with Bob Hart, political director of New York One. And then we have Congressman Jim Himes standing by to give us the latest, as he understands it, on the brinksmanship and the debt ceiling negotiations in Washington in advance of President Obama's news conference that we'll cover in a little while. Bob, let's see. Should we talk about the mayoral race tonight? I mean, it's crazy. That's why we'll only spend a couple of minutes on it, because it's only 2011. But there's some kind of reporting about campaign finance, campaign fundraising that's coming tonight.
That's correct. Today's the deadline for the latest campaign finance filing period. So just like we always hear in the presidential races, you know, candidates are scrambling to get that last little bit of money in so that they can show everyone how big their war chests are and try to, win the game of expectations, even though the race is 2 years from now. And frankly, with the public campaign finance system the city has, most of the strong candidates are going to come close, when all is said and done, 2 years from now, come close to maxing out to what they can spend. I don't know the new limit. It goes up every 4 years. But the strong candidates are all generally within the neighborhood of each other. It's not like the other races where you see someone who's running for governor where there is no public campaign finance system, be able to vastly outspend someone. The only time we ever see that in New York City is if there's an independent candidate who's not in the system like Mayor Bloomberg. Otherwise, money isn't nearly as much of a factor as it is in other places.
Well, the only other thing I'll say about that and get your reaction is, even while we start to focus on these mainstream Democratic mayoral hopefuls, City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, the public advocate Bill de Blasio, the controller John Liu, and some of these other folks, New York City has not elected a Democrat as mayor since 1989. Before Giuliani, Bloomberg. So do you see another candidate like that? Because there is a distaste. Maybe this is even related to why Anthony Weiner could only get, about 60% in his reelection bid. There is a certain strain of New Yorker that has had it with a Democratic establishment and is looking for other kinds of alternatives.
I totally agree with you, Brennan. Also, it shows that there isn't a single Tammany Hall or a Democratic machine, a healthy Democratic machine citywide that there used to be for much of the 20th century. And so what that does is I think you scoff at someone coming from the outside at your own risk. 2001 was kind of a lesson for all of us when we're looking at heavily focusing on the Democratic primary and not really looking at Michael Bloomberg, who did not run really a great campaign leading up into the fall. And many of us thought, well, it's finally time. Since 1989, 2001, the City Hall is going back to the Democrats. And I think anyone who says that now better go back and look at 2001. And I don't know who that person necessarily is who could be that independent or Republican candidate coming from the outside.
Yep.
But there's definitely room for that person, I would say, in 2 years.
Well, I've read that Bill Thompson, who is the Democratic nominee, last time out, thinks he might be able to position himself as that moderate. We'll see, and we'll look for that name coming from I don't want to say from left field. It might be from right field, or it might be from right center field, more specifically in New York City. Bob Hart, political director for New York One. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Congressman Jim Himes and the debt ceiling in a minute.